Reliability, quality, freedom. Amen. There you go. That's us, isn't it? Reliability, quality, freedom. Well, it's a real joy this morning. We got some friends with us to share, and we have done over the last couple of weeks, as we know. So last week we had Elias and Vula across from Greece, and what a wonderful time that was last week, wasn't it, to have them share with us. And, you know, an amazing work that they started in Greece, humanitarian aid, and the blessing that that's brought to people now as they've migrated all over Europe. Little fires being set up and little things happening. It's been remarkable. So that was great to hear, excuse me, to hear that. And we've got some other folks going to talk to us this morning as well. And as I was thinking about this morning, that I was just thinking of the Great Commission. So Matthew 28, 18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that's it really, isn't it? So some of these people we're going to hear from this morning, I say some of them, all of them actually, that's what they're doing. They're all going out to share the gospel and to actually go out and make disciples of those around them. And there's some amazing ministries going on around. And we as a church, as you know from years gone past, we support many ministries. Some of them have been around the world. Some of them have been more local. And over these last couple of weeks, we just wanted to share or have that opportunity of sharing with everybody some of the work that you, that we are supporting, that we believe is important. And that support changes. You know, we believe as leaders that it's important that relationship is at the heart of everything that's happening. So this is about relationship. This is about people coming to us who we build a relationship with. And out of that, then we begin to help and support and hopefully participating in those ministries over the years as well. So that's what this is about. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hand over now. So we're going to do it in this order. Just a bit of warning. Ness, I think you're going to be first up. Is that right? So Ness is going to come and talk about Open Doors. And then I'm going to hand over to Liz Evans, who is with us as well. So Liz, a very warm welcome to you. It's great to have you here with us this morning. And then I'm going to hand over to Canal Ministries. And as we all know, with Martin and Donna have been with us now a few years, and they've joined now Canal Ministries and part of that ministry that's all over the country. it's great to have with us this morning. We've got Chris and Sally Buck, which is great. So lovely to have you guys here with us. I was asking Chris about coming down, and we agreed that coming down by boat was probably not the best thing to do, as they're based in North Wales, in that sort of area anyway. Probably would have taken them about 3 years to get here, I would have thought. He did come down by car. And then Chris and Sally have brought with them Rob and Trish, who are more local and work quite closely with Martin and Donna as well. So a very warm welcome to you as well. So thank you. Right, Ness, shall I hand over to you?
Thank you. Crikey. No. Can I come back a bit? Hello, everyone. I'll just start with a bit of blurb before we try a video, but it's only a few minutes, so we'll see. But obviously, Open Doors, you're all familiar with, I'm sure. We've supported it for many years, this church, and our connection initially was with Paul and Tina Bailey, who brought it to us, our attention, and of course, Paul worked for Paul. He left us as eldership to work for Open Doors. So that's our history, really. But, I mean, you probably know the... the Brother Andrew story. If you don't, then get the book and read it. It's well known. This is where Open Doors has really come from. It was one guy who obeyed God, Brother Andrew, and went and did what he asked him to do, and went behind the Iron Curtain and took Bibles in the 50s, 60s. So if you haven't read the book, read it, God Smuggler. And so that's where it all came from. And of course, it's expanded tremendously since then. And Open Doors supports Christians all over the world, believers who are being persecuted for just believing in Jesus. Hopefully, you'll be able to hear it better than you have the others, but we'll see.
Praying put you in danger. Could going to church risk your life? Could following Jesus cost you your job, your home, or your family? Around the world today, our Christian brothers and sisters are counting the cost of their faith. And these are the 10 countries where the price of following Jesus is highest. Number 10, Afghanistan. The Taliban hunts for hidden networks of believers. Suspected Christians can be arrested, interrogated, and even killed. And number 9, Iran. House churches are seen as a threat to national security. Pastor Anushaman has started serving a 10-year prison sentence after 30 agents raided his home. Sudan is at number 8. In the chaos and conflict of civil war, Christians are especially vulnerable. Believers have been attacked, their property looted, and churches closed. Number 7, Pakistan. Pakistani Christians are seen as second-class citizens. False accusations of blasphemy result in innocent believers facing mob violence. Christian girls continue to be abducted and forced to convert to Islam. Nigeria is at number 6. More Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. Pastor Zachariah came home one day to find his village attacked and his wife and son murdered by militants. Number 5. Yemen. The very small number of Yemeni Christians must worship in secret. House church leader Salah is on the wanted list, but despite death threats, he courageously continues his ministry. At number 4 is Eritrea. Christian activities are severely restricted. When Abdullah told people about Jesus, he was sent to prison. The conditions were so terrible that he never came out alive. Libya is number 3 on the list. Libya considers itself to be a completely Islamic nation. Libyan believers who tell others about Jesus risk arrest and violent opposition. Number 2, Somalia. In this highly restrictive Islamic society, even the suspicion of being a Christian is extremely dangerous. Converts who are discovered may instantly pay with their lives. And at number 1, North Korea. This remains the most costly place in the world to be a Christian. Even owning a Bible is illegal. Jiho's father was taken away when security agents discovered his secret book. She never saw him again. Christians are sent to appalling labor camps or simply killed on the spot. More than 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's 1 in 7 Christians globally, and every one of them a son or daughter, a mother, a father, a child of God. For nearly 70 years, Open Doors has been supporting our persecuted church family, helping them to stand strong. They are counting the cost of following Christ, and with your help, they can keep believing, knowing that Jesus is worth everything.
Yeah, it's quite. It's going to move. It's quite sobering, isn't it? Is that right? Sobering facts. Is it off? Yes. I'll just throw some more statistics at you. You obviously heard the 1 in 7 around the world, a Christian persecuted. 3,906 people were abducted for their faith last year. 4,998 were murdered. 14,766 Christian churches or buildings were attacked last year. So they're quite staggering, really. These dear ones are suffering all around the world. The encouraging thing was 100,000 North Korean believers were helped in some way last year, so by Open Doors. So what can we do? Well, we can pray, which is what we do. And there's a small group of us who meet in Jean's home, and I'd just like to thank them and honour them today because they have been faithful praying with me. So Nancy, Jean, Trish, and recently Josie joining us. So thank you, because you come faithfully every month and we pray, because that's all we can do. We can give financially, obviously, and the church does. This is why I'm here, but we pray. Open Doors obviously help in many different ways. I'll just go quickly through some of them. Practically, they support with legal, court, hearings, advocacy. That's their one way people have been arrested or accused wrongly, falsely. They help training with the leaders, obviously. Trauma counselling is a big thing that they do in Africa particularly, but all over the world where they've been traumatised. Financially, obviously, they'd help up with start-up businesses to help dear ones who have lost everything when they've had their villages attacked and everything's taken from them. They help with start-up businesses and obviously with emergency aid in times of disaster. They go in. They're unique in a way because they have what they call local partners. So they are working on the ground all the time. They're local people and they are there supporting the churches, the people all the time. They're not brought in from outside. They are, and they know the culture and they know the people. They are a local church believers. So that's why we support them. It's a valuable work. Every month they produce, after 2 months they produce a little leaflet, which it's all online. They produce a world watch list and they produce 50. This is the top 50 and the top 10. And then they have a prayer, little prayer thing you can follow through. At the moment they're doing Arise Africa because Nigeria has been targeted by Fulani militants and people have lost their livelihoods. So they're highlighting Africa in a campaign at the moment, Arise Africa, and I think some of you may have already received there's a petition you can sign to get our government on board. But that's Open Doors. Okay.
I wonder why God didn't make everyone the same size. Be a lot easier, wouldn't it? It's amazing the work that Open Doors have done over the years. Go onto the website, sign up to their newsletter, and all the information that Ness was sharing with you there, you'd be able to get, and it would be sent through to you. Or just go onto the website, and all the information's on there. So if you want to pray, go and speak to Ness. Go and join the team that's praying for Open Doors. It's an amazing work. So thank you, Ness. I'm going to introduce Liz Evans. Liz is going to come up and share with the work that she's doing with Feel Good. We've known Liz for many, many years as well, and amazing work that's been going on. And Liz is just going to share a few stories around that. So, Liz, of course you can. Saves the height problem then, doesn't it? Yes.
Thank you very much. Did you put my slides up for me? If we could have the first one. I'm really, really grateful to come and thank you today for supporting us and praying for us. There's a lot of spiritual activity around what we do, and your prayers, your harvest is our harvest. So this is Paul talking, I think, to the Philippians, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership with the gospel. And the things I'm going to tell you today about the fruit of the gospel are not really about what we do. It's about what we see Jesus doing. As we tell people about him, because we've discovered that people really like God. They really, really like Jesus, and they really, really like the Holy Spirit. They're not too sure about us sometimes, but I can understand that. I'm sometimes the same. But when we introduce them to Jesus, it's amazing. So what we do is we take a group of believers out, and we're going to be in a local cafe. We have three different local cafes that we go into across Bristol and Bath, and we have more managers asking us to open cafes, but we don't have enough people, so we're training people as well. And then the university came along to the cafe and saw what we were doing, so they asked us to go into the university. They said, we have mental health services, but what we need is this, meaning God. So we go in and we have worship leaders who play worship music, and we have the students or people in the cafe, and we've literally heard them saying to themselves or their friends, have I just walked into heaven? Because as they walk in, they sense the presence of God. And that's what I want to do, is I want to talk to you today, is to glorify what he's doing. Because we put pastors who just listen to people and love people, we put prophetic people who prophesy to people, and we put this anointed music around it. And as we prophesy to people, people hear from Jesus directly into their concerns and their lives, and they're completely overcome. And they want to hear more, so we've developed certain tools that we use with them to take them into encounter. We sometimes do that one-to-one, face-to-face. We do it in a busy cafe or a busy university. Or we do it over Zoom. And I was chatting to one young lad over Zoom. I'll call him Alex. That's not his name. But so Alex came on. He said, I want to know more about what it was that I sensed. And I said, okay, what did you sense? He said, well, I sensed this real love and this real warmth and this real peace and this real grace. And so I said, fantastic, sounds like God to me, but what would you call it? He said, well, I want to call it grace. I said, okay, I have much carry. You can't carry everything now, but what little bit can you carry? And he could carry that God was grace. So we led him into a sort of a biblical passage meditation. He didn't know it was from the Bible. I just said it was an old saying about 2,000 years old. And so we led him into this, and he said, whoa, 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 I can feel this love, and I can feel this light, and I can feel this, oh, it's so gorgeous, it's like I'm held. And I said, oh, yeah, do you want to ask light and love what his name is? And he said, okay, what's your name, love? And I said, are you hearing anything back? And he said, yeah, I'm getting the word God. I said, oh, okay, so you're happy with the word God? Because it sounds to me like God has just met you. And he said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, and do you have anything to say to God? And he said, oh, thank you, God, I love you. I said, did God say anything back? And he said, yeah, God said, I love you too. And he said, it's like this, Liz. It's like he's really, 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 really huge, but he's made himself small enough to come and speak to me. And I think that's probably one of the best examples of the incarnate Christ that I've ever heard, this amazing, majestic Savior that we have, who comes and just makes himself tiny to speak into your need and my need. And I thought telling you these stories is probably the best way of telling you what God is doing when we're out and about next to people. So if we could have that next slide, please. At the top here is, you can see Steve there, because Karen and Steve used to come and help. But the guy on the right with the hat is Mark, and the girl singing is Bea, one of our worship leaders. Mark has been with us for about 2 years at this point, and he still hadn't come to know Jesus. I'm getting a little bit annoyed by this time, because he loves God, but he hasn't known Jesus yet. And it's just like, how come this hasn't happened? Because a lot of things are instantaneous in our experience. And then Mark went to London. He's a surveyor and had a heart attack and died. They resuscitated him, died again in the ambulance. They resuscitated him, taken into the ICU. They resuscitated him, but he's in a coma. They can't bring him round. And they've said to his partner, you know, we don't think Mark's going to make it. And so Claire rings and says, could you get your people to send out positive thoughts? And I thought, well, we'll pray. But yes, that's positive thoughts. And B happened to be around the corner, and she said, I'll take in my guitar and I'll go and I'll worship and I'll pray over him. So she went and she worshipped and she prayed, and she put her guitar away and she left the room, but met Claire, his partner, and came back in. And by the time they got back into the ward, all the nurses are buzzing around going, it was the music, it was the music. And B was thinking, it was the worship, it was the worship. And all Mark's vital signs had lined up suddenly. I'm not medical, but they had to line up. Three signs had to line up, and they'd taken the breathing tube out, and Mark came round, and he's now running 7 miles a day. But Mark still doesn't know Jesus at this point, so now I'm getting really annoyed. So I meet Mark in a cafe, and I thought, we're going to do one of these encounter sessions. So we take Mark into an Emmaus road. It's a biblical exercise that we do with them. And Mark went really quiet. Mark, are you okay? You're doing all right? And his eyes are closed. He said, yes, Jesus is here. I said, okay, you all right? He said, yeah, he's holding me. And Mark started to tear up and tears ran down his face. And he opened his eyes and said, Mark, are you ready to meet Jesus? And he said, yes. Finally, taken us about 3 years at this point, and Mark met Jesus. So these two got married, not in a pagan ceremony like they'd planned, but in Bath Abbey recently, which is just brilliant before God. But these gifts that God gives us, by them the Holy Spirit comes forth out of the invisible realm of heaven and impacts the people we meet. But I know when you tell people about amazing salvations and amazing miracles, that can be the thing that takes our eye. But what it's really about is love. So the last story I'm going to tell you is what's happening now. And all my team at the moment are based around the BRI. For one lady who's never known love and never known family and never had anybody and now knows Jesus and is in quite a serious situation. So my team, who are the hands and the feet of Jesus, are going in to love this woman. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says, we can have all knowledge and we can prophesy and we can do miracles and we can do all these wonderful things. But if we haven't got love, we're nothing. And what does the Lord require of us? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And the most proud thing I said to my team this week, if we'd achieved nothing in all our years of ministry, but the way you guys are loving this woman and surrounding her with prayer so she's totally peaceful, totally joyful, so happy, the happiest she's ever been in her life because she's being loved. And the quality of our ministry and your ministry here that we need to judge is, do we love? Are we doing the first commandment, loving Jesus? And are we doing the second commandment of loving one another? And as I've looked at my team this last week, I'm seeing that they're meeting that, and that's what I'm proudest about. And our harvest is your harvest, and we could go on telling stories, but I know we're going to hear from the Canal Trust, and I'm keen to hear what they're doing too. So thank you, and glory to God.
Thank you, Liz. Just amazing work and what God's doing in lots of different places. You know, we've heard about, you know, work in Greece. We've heard about work locally here. We've heard just about what God is doing amazing ways. And all over the world, just thinking of open doors, the work that they do, so dangerous, so amazing. And now we're just going to hear about what's going on in Canal Ministries. And like I said, we've had Martin and Donna with us now for a few years. And their heart, God brought them from Wales, along with Noah. Good to see you. Hello. And with their family, and so it was lovely to have them here. And God just said, you know, he wanted them to minister to those people on the canal, and that's what they've been doing here. And we all know that down on the canal is such a difficult place to be sometimes. There's some dark spiritual things going on there, so it's a hard place, and these guys have been so faithful in all they've done. I just want to welcome Chris to come and share with us. I don't know whether Sally's coming as well, or no, she's not. yeah, it's really lovely to have you here with us and to share with us. It's great. So let me just pray for Chris. So Father, we just thank you for the work that this man does and his wife Sally as well, Lord. And Father, we thank you that this is a couple that just want to follow your ways. They want to do the things that you want them to do. So, Lord, I just pray for them. I bless them. And, Lord, we just thank you for their for them giving up their time to come here and actually to be with us. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless them and bless all the work they do. We just thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for such a warm welcome. It's an absolute privilege to be here. And I want to echo some of what's already been said and tell some stories more than anything else about what we're doing, because it's stories that help us to understand people's lives, I think, and help us to want to help others. The other thing I wish I'd done is I wish I'd put my contact lens in and had my reading glasses on this morning. So you're going to see me flicking around because these are my long distance glasses and I can't always see fully what I've written. I have written stuff down because to try and keep myself on target. I'm a gas engineer by trade. I teach gas engineering to students and I teach by telling stories rather than by just rabbiting on about technical stuff. I'll sort of try and link a piece of information in with a practical thing that's happened to me. So, for instance, a gas tightness test is a very important part of our process, and I will tell a story about when I did a gas tightness test, that there was the lady had been complaining about a leak, but every time I went there, the tightness test was sound. There was no gas leak. And it's life's a learning process, and I was learning through this whole process. And the leak was right on the very bit where you put your tube on to do the test. And so whenever I put the test on, I was actually concealing the leak. And so you had to take the tube off, put the test nipple back in, and spray it with leak detection fluid to actually find the leak. So, you know, and when we tell a story, it sticks. Things stick, and we start to learn better from it. John 3:16 came to mind as we've been reading this morning and as we've been listening. And it's, I want to read it because I want to get it just as the words say. For God so, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, that doesn't matter who they are, it is everybody. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. What a promise, but have eternal life. And that's what we're working for, isn't it? When we're doing ministry, that is the key that opens up everything. It's that key that I focus in when I'm talking to people, because that's all I want for people. I don't want nothing for myself. I really don't. I just want to show the love of Christ in people's lives so that they have that wonderful experience that I've got, which is the security and knowledge. Life's not easy. Life's not a breeze. We've been through our own troubles. You don't want to hear about all those troubles, but we've been in those ups and downs. God doesn't take away those, that promise. And I was talking to our friends Rodney and Christine last night, and we've just tried to imagine a little bit about what heaven would be like. And it's going to be a wonderful place to be in. We're going to be in permanent worship, just like we were this morning with these guys leading us in worship. A place which is wonderful. And when you get to that place, you just want to be absorbed in it. The songs were, I want to be here all the time, weren't they? So as I say, I've already gone off my lines now. It's wonderful to be here and to share with you about Canal Ministries. And I also want to have an opportunity to pray for Martin and Donna this morning, because they've become part of our team and it's a real privilege to have them on board. And part of the thing is we try and form relationship. Canal Ministries is a family. It's not a big ministry, it's a small ministry, and we interact with each other and we want it to be a family thing. And the work that they've been doing already has been very clear testimony of the work that we all do around the network. It's a great example. The way they love people, the way they live by their hearts and show the love of Christ through that and give people hope. Their passion for the gospel, when I speak to them, they've got a real passion for the gospel and a real heart to show people the love of God. And that's so ties in with Canal Ministries' strapline, which is to share the love of God on the waterways and beyond. So we don't just want to do it on the waterways, because everybody needs God. Everybody needs that love that God has for them. So we're not just limited to the waterways, but that's where we live, and that's the community we want to show love to. There's so many people out there that they're hiding from society, a lot of people on the water, because they're feeling lost, but it's quiet. When you get on the boat, and any one of you is welcome to come and visit us on a boat. I'm sure they would love you to visit them on their boat as well. And Rob and Trish would too. And you get on the boat and you get out there, and it is peaceful. It's wonderful when you get away from everything. And so people run away, but the thing is that life's still there. Things are still happening, and they're still hurting. There's still the pain that they need somebody to show them love. So what our aim is to live within the community that we are in, and that Donna and Martin are doing that. Rob and Trish have done it for years down here. They've sown so many seeds into the community around here. And through that love, our hope is that those very people that we're showing that love to will find Christ for themselves and have that relationship. We don't have a denominational stream. You know, I came in here this morning, I thought, oh, I've got my jeans. Oh, I felt very comfortable because everybody is very casually, nicely dressed. You know, I did go by mistake to start with to the Baptist church where they've got their suits on and things. And that's not a criticism because we all like different ways we worship. Churches are different around, but I thought, oh no, I haven't got a nice pair of trousers on or anything. But I'm glad I'm here because I felt very comfortable. So we've embraced Martin and Donna. So what I wanted to do was show a video. I hope you can hear the sound. It's a video that we made when we were on mission at Walter Heaton last year, and it gives you a little bit more of an example of the things we do as Canal Ministries.
I'm part of Canal Ministries and Boaters Christian Fellowship, and we've just been on our week of mission, and we wanted to show you what we do while we're out working on the waterways, sharing the gospel.
We have approximately 2,800 miles of canals and rivers, all navigable, and there are many people who lived on board boats. So we felt that God was calling us to work among the people who actually spent their time on the waterways. And so every 2 years we would plan a mission to be in a specific area to meet up. People are drawn to boats, had variety of things going on in both churches and schools. We'd go in and take assemblies in the school, and it's been brilliant.
We really want to proclaim the love of Jesus to people we meet on the waterways. And on this mission we've been doing here, we've been leading the worship every morning. But we also sing in folk clubs.
Helped many boaters, haven't we?
Yes.
They crop up in front of us, sort of thing, or you're more near them, or you're coming as we were one day walking along the towpath, and a boat was coming through a tunnel. He didn't have any petrol for his outboard engine. I said, have you eaten today? And he said, no, I haven't got any food. So I said, well, we can get you some food. And he said, well, and I said, why isn't your boat working? And he said, I haven't got any petrol. So you said then that we could go and get some petrol, didn't you?
Yes, we did do. The biggest thing that we can give these people is time, sitting down with them, listening to their story, and giving them an opportunity to receive the good news.
During lockdown, we served soups every week to people who wanted them. And we used the boat at Christmas to do a Santa run so all the children could see Santa. At the moment, we take her out every week just to serve teas and coffees and meet people.
We've been sharing the gospel and sharing, talking to people about Jesus as often as we can, giving away cups of tea and doing free boat trips. And it's been a great week trying to share the gospel with as many people as we can.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our little tour around what we do on mission.
If you'd like to get involved, please contact us. All our details are on the website, and we'd love to hear from you. We love it when churches get involved. We work everywhere with local churches around the network. We'd really appreciate you to pray for the work that we do. It has great value. It's helping the smaller communities around the network that sometimes find themselves in need, and we're there for them. You've seen some of the work that the smaller boats do on a daily basis, as well as this once a year mission we do. So yes, thank you for your prayers, and we look forward to hearing from you sometime soon.
So we have a website which you can look at, which has just recently been updated. The videos will be put on the website eventually, so you can look at them again review what we've said there. There's another video, hopefully if we've got time, to play at the end, which is a bit more informative of what goes on in the boat. Boating isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. It requires some hard work at times. In the morning, on a cold morning like this morning, many boaters will be getting up very sort of in the cold to get their fire stoked. Some of them are clever enough to keep it going overnight. Not all of us are that clever, and the fire goes out, and we have to build it and get the boat warm again. So when you're next getting up in the morning, you're flicking, or your heating has come on magically because you've got a thing called a thermostat and a programmer, just think of those boaters that are getting up just stoking their fire to get it going. Sadly, around here, there are money boaters that don't even have the coal to put on it. They're scavenging wood, bits of wood, and things like that. So, you know, if you do support and you want to support our work, you will be supporting that. I know Rob and Trish have often delivered food parcels via Latanya along with coal to local people that needed it. So we're always, you know, if you know somebody, you want to make Martin and Donna aware of them, somebody who's in need, we can get coal and drop it off to people so they've got something warm. Again, people don't always have enough food, so we do that as well. We have to, every week, we need to fill up with water. If we're going to have our showers and our cups of tea in the morning, we need water, so we'll have to trip off down to the local tap, which might be a number of miles away down the canal, so it takes all day. So when you're thinking, oh, you know, Donna and Martin, myself and Sally, we're still workers, we still have to earn an income, you know, that's a day's work going just to get water and empty our toilets as well. So they're the practicalities that we face, but we face it as a community with fellow boaters, so we're not alone with it. Before being part of the CM team, I was a children's worker in our church in South Kent Community Church in Folkestone, and I just thought I'd share a little story that propped up recently to show you about sowing and the importance of sowing seeds. So my youngest son went to a wedding. Because obviously they come to church with us, our children, and so they know a lot of the children that came to the children's work there. And one of those young men was at that wedding, and he found Jacob, and he came over and he had a chat. And this young man lives in Leeds now. He's part of a church there and an active member of the church with him at the time. And the turmoil that they went through as mum and dad sadly separated. And it was hard to see. But he came up and found Jacob and he said, I just want you to tell your dad how much we appreciated him, because he was there. He was a stable person in a time of turmoil in our life. Harry's gone on and he's working as, you know, within the church. He's got a young family of his own, and he's established his own faith. And so that was a seed that we sowed many, many years ago. I had no idea how Harry was doing, really. He'd gone on and he was living his life. But God has taken him on to do greater things. So you never know what has happened through the work you've done in the past. And then the other story that I wanted to tell you about was a young man, and this is to do with the work we do now, called Sam. And Sally and I started boating 10 years ago. We bought our boat in November 2014, so near enough 10 years ago. And we joined Canal Ministries just before that. And it was at the 2014 event where God said to us both very clearly, "This is what I want for you." And he spoke through the story in Genesis where find it. It's where he's told to go, sell everything, get rid of everything, and leave everything and go. Anybody help me with that? I can't remember the passage. Sally, can you help me? I should have written it down. Anyway, it's in there in Genesis, sorry. He's told, Abraham is told to move out and move on. Anyhow, that was how we took that, as God talking to us and to sell. So we sold our house. We sold, well, we didn't sell our possessions. We gave all our possessions away, and we moved out from the house. We moved away from the church that we were part of, and it was quite a big haul, quite a big struggle for us to get up and do that. But God was with us, and so we moved onto our boat in June of 2015, after having bought it in 2014. And we started this journey. Anyhow, just as we moved into Ellesmere, we were near the Ellesmere area at that time, and we moored up, and there was this young man called Sam who we got to know, and he was on a boat. Sam suffers from slight mental health issues and also dyslexia. And he was quite a nervy young man. And one day, unbeknown to us, Sam was tied up and his boat was robbed of batteries and cable. Somebody had gone on there, a trickster. What had happened, he was working with his partner, and she talked to Sam and talked to him. And while that he was doing that, the guy went onto the boat and started. And then when Sam became aware of what was going on, they tied him up and held him away from where thing, and they got away with all of his batteries and everything. Anyhow, we were in the area at the time, and it was great to be there because we just sat and we listened and we spoke to Sam, and he shared the story. We were able to sit there and pray with him. Over time, we kept on seeing him for a bit, and then he disappeared. He went off. We found out a bit more about him. He'd grown up in the area. His father worked in Wicksell Marina, and he'd always been on a boat. He just went off then one day, and we haven't heard from him for a long, long time. And then on Last week, we were travelling through Wheaton Aston, a place on the Shropshire Union Canal. And as we were travelling through there, we heard this shout, "Hello, hello!" And it's Sam. And Sally started chatting to him. And Sam was stood on the other side of the canal. He had a young lady with him and a daughter. Well, we didn't know at the time it was his daughter, a little girl. And as we were talking, she said, "Oh, Daddy." And I just, at that time, God just said to me, that young man who was completely lost at that time, all we did was sit with him. We didn't do any great thing. We didn't actually even buy him new batteries, which we should have done, but we didn't. We just talked, and he didn't want anything else, did he, I don't think. He just wanted friends, and we were there. And sometimes that's all our work involves, is just being there. And now he's part of a little family. He's got his little family, and it made me smile just thinking, Sam, this young man who has such a hard start in life, but he got on and he picked himself up and he moved on with his life. And does he know Christ? Well, God, yesterday, as I was preparing, he led me to Matthew 25. Verses 37. This is what God said about the work that we've been doing. He said, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" And my thought was, as I did that for, you know, we thought about Sam and I thought about his life. I don't know what his relationship with God is. But what I do know is I've done my very best for him. And we've done our very best to show him and pray for him and guide him. And that is what our walk is about. Boaters often live on the edge of society. Much of the society do not even know that community exists. And that, to be fair, is what they want. They want to be like that. But God wants all parts of society to know his love. And that is what CM's mission is all about. And that's really what I wanted to get across this morning, is our mission is to show people the love of God. And I'm hoping Donna and Martin have got some stories to tell as well, that of the local area, to give you a local feel of what's going on here.
So it's just such a joy to have our Canal Ministry family, as you said, here today. You know, that's not just a word we bandy about. We really are family. These people support us. I can go to them and say, you know, we've had such a hard day. This has happened, that happened, the next has happened. And I know that my family will come through and pray. And they do. So I'm just so grateful to have them here. Rob and Trish, they were our mentors here. They were so patient with us. They were so good to us. They were so encouraging to us. And you guys are my and pa on the canal. And I'm so grateful for your love and your support. But as to some stories, we've got lots of those. But the one I want to share with you today is someone I'll call Bota S. And Bota S used to be on the canal with her partner, and they were our local fuel boat. Sadly, they're out of business. Now we don't have a local fuel boat, but that's another story. But Bota S, when we first came onto the canal, I started working alongside her. She was really friendly, really open. Her other half not so, but he's getting around to it. And she was so helpful, so open to helping. And so we used to give her coal and food parcels and blankets and whatever else were needed. And we'd say to her, if you know of a family that can't afford their fuel, please, you hand out far because her. Then they went out of business. They went and did their thing. They happened to live on the canal in a house. And they were doing other work. And the next, but we always prayed for them, always thought of them, always carried them. And we actually had Martin's mom come and stay with us 2 weeks ago. So we thought, oh, we'll take on a little jolly. We took her down the canal. And we were going to go past Dundas. And the next thing, Bota S's partner flailed down our boat. It's not hard to do. We only do like 2 knots at the most. And he said to Martin, oh, is Donna around? I happen to be inside the boat. He said, yeah, she's here. And he said, please, can she just come and speak to Bota S? She's really not doing well with her mental health and all the rest. So I hopped off the boat. Martin and his mom prayed for me first. And I went into Bota S's house, found her, and yes, she was in a state. But she allowed me to share with her, and more importantly, she allowed me to pray with her. And she turned around to me, she said, you know, I haven't done that in such a long time. She was raised Irish Catholic, and in her words, I have a boulder on my shoulder because of that, that had blocked her from God. But she just said, you know, I'm amazed that you got off your boat to come and pray for me and just to sit with me, exactly what you're saying, just to have a cup of coffee and listen. That's it. I can't solve her problems. I'm just a human. But I can pray for her and I can support her and I can give her time of day. And as it so happens, Bota S tonight, hopefully, because I haven't heard back from her and we'd arranged it from last week, but she's meant to be coming with me to Alpha tonight. So that's my story.
Thanks, Donna. I knew most of that story. I'm a little mortified to find out I missed out on a cuppa. We'll have words later. I had no idea. I was holding the boat, going backwards and forwards, trying to keep it still, thinking she'd be back any moment, and it was about 20, 25 minutes. Now I know why. But anyway, I'd like to tell you about someone that actually we've mentioned before, but there's a part two of the story. A couple of years ago, we were moored in Avoncliffe, just round the corner, opposite the station, round the corner from the aqueduct. And I went outside. Something didn't seem right. There were 4 police cars at the station car park, and a hire boat went round the corner to go over the aqueduct and suddenly came reversing back. Now, that's a feat on its own because reversing them is a nightmare. But I went to have a look, and there was a police lady stopping anyone from going down the towpath on the canal. Turns out there was this guy sitting on the wall of the aqueduct wanting to jump, and the police were trying to convince him not to. Anyway, we got in touch with every Christian we could think of and said, can you pray? This is going on. We couldn't get near him because of the police cordon, but at least we could be praying, right? And eventually, he climbed back off the wall. Police took him off. Paramedics checked him over. And we never really found out what was happening at the time. But then, what was it, 6 months ago? No, a year ago. A year ago, we moored up and had a barbecue. And there was this couple that were collecting wet wood to try and get a fire going so they could heat up their tin of beans. And it's like, that isn't going to work. We had a look at their boat. It was one of these fiberglass yogurt pots, we call them. And no heating in there, no electric, no lights. The only way they could cook anything was a campfire out on the towpath. And they couldn't get this fire light. So first of all, we went and offered dry wood. But then we said, well, we're having a barbecue. Why don't you come and join us? And we got chatting, found out their boat didn't have an engine either. and they were needing to get down to Avoncliffe. This was up in Scene direction. And so the next day we ended up towing them. And while we were coming along to Avoncliffe, this guy starts, he'd been really quiet up to now, but he starts opening up about how a year before he'd been on the wall wanting to jump. And he said it was really strange because something, when he actually decided to jump, something physically pushed him back onto the wall. And he couldn't get his head round what it was. And so we were like, well, captive audience, because we're telling you about, let's tell you about God and that we were praying. Again, disappeared into the background for a while. And a couple of weeks ago, there was an SOS on Facebook, someone asking for help to move a boat, a different boat. And it was this guy. And so we moved his boat. And he's not a Christian yet, but he's changing. He's open, he's asking questions, he's talking. He was saying to me that actually, because of how we've helped before, for the first time ever, he feels it's safe to come and ask for help. Which for him, I mean, when we met him before, he was in a right state. He was violent, people had restraining orders on him and all sorts. But this guy's really searching, really hurting and really searching. For me, I'm always blown away. We move about all over the place. And it's funny because we're talking to Stephen the other day, where are you going to be, what you're doing at the weekend? We're like, that's 2 days away, not a clue. But on boat life, it's funny because we'll get up thinking we got a plan and God will say, I want you to move the boat over there. And it doesn't make any sense. But you get there and then someone comes and asks for help or starts pouring out their life story. And it's like, at like 1 mile an hour, God somehow manages to get the boat to the right place at the right time. It kind of feels like God does his work despite of us rather than because of us. But it's so encouraging. Often we don't hear the final story. It's like we're just sowing seeds. Just very occasionally we hear back that, you know, someone's actually made a commitment or situations have turned around. And I think really from my heart, well, from our heart, the biggest thing we can ask is pray. Please pray. Because without that, without God stepping in, we're nothing on the canal. We're just another group of boaters struggling to get water and empty our toilets. And he's not exaggerating. The other day, we literally went from Avoncliffe to Bradford to get water, and it took us 6 hours. And that was a short one for us. So anyway, Chris.
So you've heard some stories. We could tell you stories all day long. Don't go away, guys, because we're going to pray for you. If that's okay, is that okay? Trust that God does what he needs to do with people's hearts, which is what I've put down as my last sentence. Trust that God does what he needs to do with people's hearts. Know that if you are following his call and will, you are going to see, be doing what is right. So I've had to learn that. That's a real thing that I've had to learn because I'm desperate for people to become Christians. I love it because what God's done for me is awesome. And I'm sure it's the same for all of your lives as well. I don't want people to just fill churches for fill churches' sake. I want people to come to church because they love Christ and they want to worship God. And that's the most important thing to me. So trust that God does what he needs to do with people's hearts. Know that if you have been following his call, he will be doing what his will. Okay? It's not for us to decide where we're going. And they do, as you've seen, they do what they do. Could we have a couple of people pray for these guys? Do you do that? I'm sorry, I don't know how you do church. But if a couple of people would come up and pray for these guys, and then if we've got time, we'll watch the video. It's up to you guys. But, and I'll pray with you. Father, I thank you for Donna and Martin and for bringing them along to the Canal Ministries team. It's an absolute privilege to watch what they're doing and to see how they're affecting people's lives in this area. I pray that they would see the fruit of what they're sowing, Father God. That as they work and plough the fields, that Father God, some fruit will start to spark up. I can see now just those roots going down. It's so much deeper than we realise. People have to put their roots down first. And that's why then they come along and they start to profess your name, Father God. I just pray that, Father God, that you would anoint them and bless them in their ministry in your precious name. Amen. Thank you.
Martin and Donna, I want to just use the words that Paul used in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, where he's talking about the church there, but I think it's very apt for what you're doing. And this is the scripture that I want to read and use as a prayer for you both. Therefore, we also pray for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to Christ, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Donna, Lord, and Martin, Lord, and Lord, the work that they do, Lord, day to day, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you are with them, your presence is with them, Lord, and we do pray, Lord, that you would just go before them, Lord, in this work, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and just pray your anointing for this task, Lord, your wisdom, your discernment, Lord, your protection, Lord, on the canal, Lord, as they meet people, Lord. Lord, they would just have the right words to say at the right time, Lord, and they would just, the right level of input to make, Lord. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for this work. Lord, for their heart for your people, Lord. Lord, Lord, wherever they go, Lord. Lord, that they will be a blessing, Lord. And you will bless them, Lord. Lord, as they reach out, Lord, as they pour their hearts out into this work, Lord, that you will just go before them and prepare the way. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I thank you for these parents that you've given me. And Lord, in the years that I've grown up, in like the 20 years of this life you've given me so far, I still never expected to really stand here today and kind of see them as missionaries. Lord, you've changed what we would have thought their life would have been so much and what I expected as my parents, Lord. But Lord, you brought them to that place where you need them to be. You brought them to the place where your light needs to be shined. In the dark places where no one else sometimes wants to go, where even for these who, Lord, sometimes they find it hard. They look at you and they go, why have you put us here? This is hard. This has happened. But Lord, you've given them the heart to go, it's okay. It is well with my soul. You've asked us to be here. So let's do it. And Lord, I just thank you for the kind of sacrifices they've made to do that for you as well, Lord. I know the decisions even to come on to Canal wasn't easy. And that actually you've had many conversations with you and with each other going, well, I feel like God's saying this, but I don't want to. Or this is uncomfortable. Why am I doing this? But Lord, I just thank you that they have stepped out in that obedience. That they have seen life change. They have seen seeds sown. And Lord, we just pray right now that for the people that they see, but also the people that other people on the canal see, and within this community as well, that those seeds that have been sown, that they will come to a harvest soon. That we'll see a great harvest coming, and that actually, that instead of the lights of darkness and evil coming off the canal, that it will be your light that's flooding off the canal. That the canal will be flooding into the river and the surrounding areas of your love and your goodness and your joy. And even if not everyone fully knows what is happening, but they will notice something different and something godly about it. So Lord, I just pray right now, like, as especially as we go into winter, which is when the boaters find it the hardest, that you'll protect these two, but also for the other boaters, Lord, provide what they need and send the people to help when you need them to help, and help all of us as a family step out in obedience to help support that as well, Lord. Amen.
While we were praying, just picking up what Noah said about the light, God gave me a picture of the widow and the oil. And the oil goes in the lamp, and the lamp makes light. So as you draw from God, that light shines brighter and brighter. So keep close. Keep drawing on God.
Thank you so much for your support. If we can play that video. By the way, it's Genesis 11, I found it in the end. And it's at the end there where Terah took his son Abraham, and his, or Abraham as he was called then, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son, and they went on that journey. And that's what God told us. Life's a journey, isn't it? We're going on journeys. I hope it's not, I didn't, how do you say these things? I hope that you want to go on a journey too. And we're never too old. You know, I was 28 when I opened my heart to God and said, Lord, you've got to do something with me, because all I had was my work. I love my work. I love being a gas engineer. I love talking about gas engineering. But it wasn't fulfilling me. And I just said, Lord, and he showed me a picture of a little boy in his, there was tears, and I picked him up and held him, and he looked at me and he smiled. I still remember the picture he gave me at the time. And that journey has taken us on amazing trips. So, you know, if you're thinking, what God do you want to do with me? Just open your heart, open your hands. You know, whether you're 8 or whether you're 88, God still wants to use you. Okay? So, thank you. Hi, my name's Chris, and this is our boat, Kairos. My wife and I have lived on it for the last 6 years. I'm sure you're really excited to take a tour on the boat, so come with me. So this is the back of our boat, and the engine is below the boards here, and this is where we sit and we steer the boat, and we look that way when we're going forward. I'm going to take you down to the dining room. This is also a bedroom as well. It's our spare bedroom when people come to visit. All of this lays out. Here's our tables. We have to pack everything away nice and tightly here because we haven't got massive amount of space. Although we have a fair bit of living accommodation. If you took yourself to the 1800s when people lived and worked on narrow boats, so they would carry cargo. The space here, from the back of the boat there to here, would have been all the space they had to live in. There would have been no further space up there because that would have been used for carrying things like coal or lime or salt, all the different types of cargo that was shifted around the country by water back in the 1800s. I'm going to now take you through into our galley. Well, here you find yourself in our galley. Galley? What's a galley? Well, a galley is actually a kitchen, but it's the boating term for a kitchen. So we call it a galley. We've got all the things that you would have in a modern house. A washing machine, a fridge, freezer, and an oven and a cooking hob. On an older boat, you would have had one big stove, which you used to burn coal on to make sure that you had heat and hot water and somewhere to cook. And it would have all fitted into that little space I told you about just now. So when we talk about older boats, they wouldn't have had this facility that I'm going to take you to now, which is our washroom. They'd have just had a little bowl that they had in the their small space to,
to wash their hands and their faces. They wouldn't have had a nice shower, but I'm going to take you through and I'll show you our special washroom. We've got a fully functioning shower and a toilet and a basin. And obviously, your question would be, where does the toilet waste go? Well, we've got a big tank that we've just walked over at the back of the boat where all of our wee and our poo goes, and it sits there until we go to a marina where we get it pumped out. But if you take yourself back to the traditional boaters, what would they have done? Well, let's put it this way. You wouldn't want to be standing too close to them after they'd been to the toilet, because it would have been thrown out and ended up in the canal. I'm now going to take you through to our bedroom. So here we have our bedroom. When you must ask, where's the bed? Well, this is our bed. And every night we pull the cushions off and we pull a bit of wood out and we fold the bed over, which makes us a full king-size bed. Back on the traditional working boats, in that little space that I told you about earlier, they would have not only mum and dad, but they'd have maybe three or four, maybe five children living. Quite often, the drawer in the pantry there would have been a place where the children, the babies, would have slept. This is where we sleep. Now I'm going to take you on to where we relax and sometimes work. Boaters used to wear corduroy trousers along with the collarless shirt, and they would tie a scarf around their neck. Why? Because it was cold? No, not necessarily. Because the scarf would soak up all the sweat and the dirt, and that was easy to wash. Whereas a shirt, you'd have to wash those every day, and that would make it life difficult. But a scarf can be washed up in a bucket of water, quickly hung out to dry, and they could be clean again for the next day. So it helped make sure that all the small amount of resources they had were maximised. But in the winter, this is what keeps us warm. Day and night, we keep the fire running just to make sure that we're nice and warm. So I'm just going to take you through and sit you down on the bow. This is the bow end of the boat. And I'll tell you a story about why we live on a boat. And I want to talk to you about the Bible. And this is the Word of God. And we often read it to help us. Genesis, call of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Sally and I were listening to a man who was talking about that verse. And just before it talks about Abraham and his family being told to leave, to get rid of all their worldly possessions and leave the land and move. And God would guide them where they went. And that spoke to us, because we felt that God was telling us to sell all of our house and all of our possessions we gave away that we had in the house, and to go and live on a boat. And we looked for a boat and we found Kairos. And Kairos, the meaning Kairos, is God's timing. And we believe that God had spoken to us and said it's the right time for us to be living on the waterway. So it's interesting when people say, "Oh, God speaks to you." He doesn't literally boom out of heaven, but he does speak to us through the Bible. And the Bible can guide us through life, and it can help us to do things. And God's always looked after us in the last 6 years that we've been on the water. He's always made sure we've had food. He's always made sure we've got a dry place to live. He's always made sure that we've got enough water. I wanted to say that God does watch over us when we pray and when we talk to him, and he speaks to us through the Bible. And there you have it. That's Kairos, our boat. Maybe one day that it'll be an opportunity for you to come and visit us on our boat. But I've taken you on a tour through it, and you've seen how we live. I hope you've enjoyed it. and we'll see you again one day. Bye.
Why don't we just give a big round of applause for Canal Ministries, actually.